You know, you study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that what that is, that rightly dividing is an interesting word. It's the same word that's used when the sacrifice was cut up so that the inner being of the sacrifice could be tested. So you study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing, or cutting it up, if you will, to see that it's manifested in you. And then the whole mystery is, you know, the Bereans, as I said, they were commended because they searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things be true. Now, the interesting thing that Harry did for about 5 years or more, maybe, every morning after Bible study, and when we recorded Bananas, he did the same thing, but he would go back and listen. And he edited out anything that made him sound like a fool. But it's really important. I mean, this isn't something, you know, I've said it often, you don't need anybody to teach you anything because the fullness is already there. But the cross and its preaching of the cross is the power of God because it destroys all idolatry. And there's nothing there. I mean, you have to take it as far as you can go intellectually to show yourself that the highest reason can take you is that your sin is a scarlet. Perfected.
Right. Yet most of us spend our whole life trying to perfect ourselves.
Right. You run around gadabout to change yourself.
Yes. You're perfected by
That's where the digital comes in, because the perfection is in Christ, which is done, and you don't do anything to achieve it.
Perfection cannot be achieved by
go to Revelation 22 a minute.
Okay. You're perfect.
And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the people. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Now, any time it's talked like that about your forehead, that's why the mark of the beast is in your forehead, because all the time that a forehead is referenced, it means how you think. And the mark of the beast will be on your right hand, because the right hand is symbolic of what you do. And so unless there's total rest, then by definition you have the mark of the beast in your forehead and on your hand. So here now, the only ones that are in the New Jerusalem have his name on their foreheads. So that it's the mind of Christ. There's nothing else. There's total emptying. Everybody understand that a little bit? And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Now, every time it says an angel, it just means a messenger. It doesn't mean a little guy flying around with wings. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard them and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he. Now, you remember 19, 20, and 21 are about him seeing the new Jerusalem descending as a bride adorned for her husband. And then he goes on in 19, 20, and 21, and 22 to try to put words to what he's seeing as the new Jerusalem. So I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God, or worship or give breath only to God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. And this is written 2,000 years ago. The time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. In other words, there's nothing else. They can't do anything about anything. I mean, do you really hear these words? But you're not your business.
Yeah.
You judge not your own self. Remember, the only time we are told to examine ourselves, prove to your own self, know you not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. If you're reprobate, you're incapable of repentance, of godly repentance. Because how can you repent or abandon yourself if there's nothing else there? That's what people say when I talk. I mean, it's been said so many times, it's a cliche. In one way or another, they say, well, if I did what you say, Ole, I'd just be sitting in a corner. And my response to that, then you have a form of God, but deny his power. And you know, that's what we've been talking about. You think you gotta work, you gotta do, no, you don't. This is the Sabbath. It's up to God to provide provision. Anybody believe that? Then why do you gad about? Anyway. And behold, I come quickly, in verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the spirit of the bride say, Come. And he that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. And this book, they're not talking about the whole Bible, he's talking about the book of Revelation, do you understand? And he which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. That's pretty heavy, pretty neat.
Yeah,
doesn't get any better. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 13, which we started to do yesterday, but I was interrupted by Kevin.
You didn't even get to the verse I wanted you to read.
Okay. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast... Verse 13, chapter 1. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And there's some extremely interesting stuff in this. Hold fast. It's the word echo. Echo, it's pronounced. It's to have this sense of wearing or adhering or clinging. But the sense of wearing something is what is so wild. So, again, we're talking now, we've talked a million times about Christ in you. Now we're talking about you in Christ. So hold fast or wear him. Put on, let's look at the put ons. Go to Romans 13. Yeah, it obviously means that, but it means it's the idea of putting him on, wearing. There's nothing else, and that's what we're going to emphasize here in the next few minutes. Romans 13, verse 11. Verse 10. I'm sorry. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Put on is endio, and it means to slink into the clothes. It's a weird word, but it's as if you had to sort of slide into what you wear. Amen? Or sinking, you sink into, not slink, you sink in, into it, excuse me. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not or no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Put on. Now, how do you put on? The only way you put on the Lord Jesus is by total and complete emptying of self. Then you sink into him. We're flowing up to the mountain. We're flowing up to the New Jerusalem. But we're sinking into him. A little bit. All right, let's go to Galatians 3 now. I tried to put all these in order so you just go one direction. Galatians
second, I was thinking about the parable where the guy cleans out the house and seven more demons come in worse than before. It's like if Christ is not your life,
amen.
Not in you,
then you're just a fool. Verse 22, chapter 3. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, or before faith comes, if you will. Because it's true in history and it's true in us. So before faith comes, we were kept, protected, garrisoned under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Every one of you have been in this position. You're shut up not just to this law, but you're shut up to cause and effect. You're shut up to the way things work. You're shut up unto reward, punishment, cause, effect. That, and as long as you're shut up into that law, or those laws, then you have on the Babylonian garment. No matter how much and how you protest and say and do, but your thinking in the midnight hour will prove to you that you're still shut up. Because you think in terms of cause and effect. You speak an average of 130 words a minute, but you think about 300 words a minute. And all it is, it's worship of the whore. This is what I have to do in order to get this done. This is what I'm going to do tomorrow. And your mind just goes nuts. Because it's of no faith. And there's tension and nervousness and fear. But mostly there's aloneness. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Before faith came, or if before faith comes or is revealed, we are kept or protected under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith alone. So all those things had a purpose once. We've talked about there are seven high places, symbolic in your mind, symbolic of the seven tribes that were the usurpers on the promised land. And they, and every, the Ark of the Covenant sat on each of those seven mountains, on six mountains, until on the seventh it sat on Jerusalem, Mount Moriah. And then the temple is dedicated. And then any return back to those high places, activities. You're rebuilding the things that you destroyed, so you make yourself a transgressor. And you rebuild it because you don't wait on Him for everything. Am I reading anybody's mail?
Last night we read Isaiah 40 of comforting. And in the beginning it talked about God lowering the mountains and raising the valleys. And it's probably a little quirky of me to think, but I thought Him lowering the mountains was lowering our high places.
That's exactly what it is. And make the path straight. That's what it means. It's not talking about He's going to lowering mountains and making a nice highway, but it's the lowering of these mountains and raising of the valley, and so there's a singular path, a singular way, and your mind stays there on that singular way. Oh, no, you don't understand. I got to protect and I got to do and I got to think and I got to do. And it's because, again, in reality, I don't care what your mouth says, in reality, you have two lives. You have a spiritual life, which you say amen in here, and you leave here, and pretty soon your mind starts going. And you say, you justify it by saying, well, I couldn't exist. I couldn't do my work if I didn't do that. Well, that's the lie from the depths of hell, because it's keeping you from faith.
Ollie, I have a question. I feel like when I go out, let's say I leave Bible study, I've got to go out and do what I've got to do during the day. I still feel like I have things I've got to do. But in my heart, what I want to do, I'll just say it. My heart, what I want to do is I want to live my life as much as I can on the mercy seat and not get on that damn judgment seat where I'm judging and I'm angry and I'm pissed and I'm emotionally driven. I still have things I've got to do, but I want to stay on the mercy seat. And when you stay on that, you have abandoned yourself and surrendered, I guess,
you say,
as much
you
as
say,
I can.
Yeah, what you do is you reevaluate. Everything is taken on a new light. It's just like when the sun comes up, then everything has become a new thing. Well, when that day star arises in your heart, then everything is identified and pronounced and seen only as love. Then it's faith, love, or faith, which worketh by love. I mean, it's not a matter of, it's whatever your hand finds to do. You're faithful to it out of love, not out of cause and effect. And the way you know whether that is very simple. You have no investment in the outcome. And so everything is faith, which worketh by love. And that day star that had risen in your heart has re-identified everything. You know no man after the flesh. You see through everything. You stay in peace because it's faith that worketh by love.
I think when we walk out of this room, we walk out as servants. And then we need, we take care of whatever's set before us. Jeff Casey does what he's told to do, or whoever he's...
Yeah, you whoever is your quote-unquote... The scriptures call it slaves and masters, but it's really whoever is put over you, you have to see that person as Christ, and you're working out of love.
And there's peace beyond measure in being a servant.
Yeah. All right. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith alone. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Again, endio. You've sunk into him.
Or slunk.
Huh?
Slunk.
Slunk, yeah. That too. So there's a new thing. You've got a new being. There's no reference to the past. There's no reference to the future. It's all the eternal now, because you have put him on. You have sunk into him. So now Christ is both in you and you in Christ. And it's this period, this mystical 42 months. It's from the baptism of Christ to his death. And that 42 months is referenced throughout the scripture as the time it takes you to go from your faith in Christ to have putting on Christ. Is the other way of saying it. So you live by his faith alone.
there's no concern because God is your Father and you know it. And that's what. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. There's neither black or white, young or old. No more differentiation. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, heirs according to promise. But it's only after you've gone into him that you become heirs. As long as you still you're believing in him and think something is left to do, then you're still a child. I don't care if you're 70 years old, you're still a child spiritually. And the law has to continue to be your schoolmaster until you come to the total end of yourself, so that sinking into him is your only option. Amen?
Amen.
Ephesians 4. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. Remember, if you're walking as other Gentiles walk, then you're being led by your appetites. And all you will ever eat is dust. That will be your sustenance. You'll think it's really good dust. Amen? Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, take off, concerning the former manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, his mind, and you put on, endio, sink into the new man, after which God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. But that's all the fruit of putting on the Lord Jesus, making no provision to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And lust doesn't mean sex. Lust means thinking that the condition you're in should be different than it is, and wanting anything to change. That's lust. Amen? Anybody have any expansions on the tail, or anybody have any faults to confess? Never mind, I didn't say that. We'll be here for 3 years.
Kevin always has a closing comment. No? Amen. Take it, big guy. Yeah, Kevin is a doxologist.